The mantra now, at least one mantra we'll see. So the first mantra introduces the teacher and the taught and the caliber of the student and the way the student approached the teacher. And then the second mantra, the teacher mentions the direct means of knowledge, attaining the knowledge. Shraddha, Bhakti, Dhyana, Yoga. Dhyana, Yoga. And these three words actually represent Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, which is this Shastra, of the Shastra. Now the third mantra, the teacher mentions, he only mentions, later on we are going to see also elaborately, he mentions the prerequisite qualification is Vairagyam. Without Vairagyam, Shravanam Mananam will not be possible at all. Shravanam Mananam may be possible, but Nididhyasana will be impossible, and without which Jnanam will be impossible. Even the Vairagyam itself, without the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge and study of the Shastram, Vairagyam is meaningless. But Vairagyam really is meaningful only when you are committed to the study of the Shastram. So Vairagyam here is total dispassion. And here we'll read the verse. And here the teacher mentions, instead of using the word Vairagyam, he uses the term Tyagaha. Let us see that now. No? Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyage naike, amrutatva manashuhu. Parena nakam, nihitam, guhayam, vibhrajate, yad yatayo vishanti. Na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyage naike namrutatva manashuhu. Parena nakam nihitam guhayam vibhrajate yad yatayo vishanti. We can have, okay, the swaras are there. The same mantra occurs in other Upanishads also, Mahanarayana Upanishad, where you have these swarams. So here we don't have swarams. So we simply read it. You have to look for it. Here, yatayaha vishanti. Vishanti. Vishanti is the word, verb. Yatayaha vishanti. And we have first, before that we have anashuhu. Amrutatvam anashuhu. Anashuhu means had attained, had enjoyed amrutatvam, attained immortality. Amrutatvam means mokshaha. Amrutatvam in Sanskrit language, amrutatvam is a noun which is immortality. Amrutatvam anashuhu, attained immortality. Means what? Attaining immortality means attaining moksha. Attaining moksha means discovering the freedom which is already there. Discovering the freedom which is already there means discovering the truth of the whole, Brahman. Discovering the truth of the whole means discovering the truth as the truth of one's own self. Discovering the truth of the whole as the truth of an individual in one's own mind, as one's own self, as the truth of very I. I sense. This what is Amrutattvam Anashuhu means discovering one's own Swarupam. He is discovering the truth of the whole, which is discovering the moksha which is already there, which is the attainment of mokshaha, attainment of immortality. Amrutattvam Anashuhu. Which also means what? Freedom from the bondage of the cycle of births and deaths. So Amrutattvam Anashuhu means attained moksha. How? How did they attain moksha? The teacher continues. Definitely through jnanam. His attainment of moksha means what? Attainment of knowledge. You never attain Brahman. You never attain the reality. You never attain the truth. What to attain is, because already you are the truth. Already you are the reality. See, yourself being already the reality, how can you attain yourself? How can you reach Bhagavan? You are already Bhagavan. Already you are Ishvara. Already you are Paramatma. Already you are Parambrahma. Already Tattvamasi. Already you are the reality means, what are you? And already reality and freedom, limitlessness, are one and the same. Reality, fullness, limitlessness, mokshaha, freedom, liberation, they're one and the same. Just as illumining nature, illumining and light are not two different things. Illumining is the very swarupam of the light, very nature of the light. In what form do you see the light here? What is the form of the light? You understand light in terms of its swarupam, in terms of its nature. How do you define light, or how do you understand light? You understand light in terms of its nature, in terms of its swarupam. So that in whose presence everything becomes illumined, that which is of the nature of illumining is the light. What is light? How will you say? That which is of the nature of illumining is the light. Means you are understanding the light in terms of its swarupam of illumining. That which burns is fire. You're understanding fire in terms of its nature, swarupam. Burning is not an action which fire does it. It is the very nature. Illumining is not an action. It is the very nature. Similarly, being full, being limitless is the very nature of consciousness. Consciousness is of the nature of fullness. Consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, we say limitlessness and limitlessness is what? In fact, being limitless is limitlessness, and limitlessness is, being limitless is being happy. How do you say being limitless is limitlessness and being limitless is being happy? Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. Get order? Being limitless is being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is equal to happiness. What do you arrive at now? Limitlessness is synonym of the word happiness. How do you say that? Being limited is being unhappy. Okay, what is unhappy? Being unhappy? Being limited is being unhappy. Therefore, being limitless is being happy. Therefore, make it a noun now. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, limitlessness is what? Nature of the consciousness. But what is the nature of happiness is what? Nature of consciousness. Swarupam of Chaitanya. Therefore, discovering the light is discovering its illumining nature. Discovery of light is discovery of illumining power, illumining nature. Similarly here, discovering consciousness is discovering happiness. Discovering happiness is taking ownership of happiness. Is it clear? Therefore, happiness here, the discovery of happiness is in the discovery of limitlessness. Discovery of limitlessness is discovery of limit the consciousness in terms of its swarupa. And the discovery of our consciousness is what? Discovery of one's own swarupa. Therefore, you are already happiness. You are already Paramatma, Parambrahma, Chaitanya means you are already happiness. Therefore, you can never attain happiness. Therefore, attainment is always of the knowledge of happiness. Okay, attainment is not of happiness. Attainment is of the knowledge of Brahman, which is happiness. Therefore, Amrutattvam Anashuhu means the attained moksha means they attained the knowledge of fullness. Attained the knowledge of the reality, absolute reality, as one's own self. Thereby they attained the immortality or moksha in terms of its swarupam, in terms of swarupam of the Atma. Is it clear? Amrutattvam Anashuhu. That is fine. How? Nididhyasanena. It is the contemplation alone will bless one with Amrutattvam, nothing else. And which should be preceded by Mananam, which should be preceded by Shravanam. That's fine. But for that contemplation, how is it possible for you to be focused, not to be distracted by anything else? No, you must be holding on to one thing, which means for you to hold on to one thing, you must have taken or no, you must have left everything else. Now I want to hold on here also, and I want to hold to this also. No, leave everything else and hold on only to knowledge. Isn't it? This is called dispassion, which means you are with the world, in the world, with the people, with situations, with things, but you are emotionally, you are very clear. Shastra study, Shravanam and Mananam has helped you understand the limitations of everything in the world. See, once you understand the limitations of everything, everything is ephemeral. Everything comes and goes. Nothing is permanent here. Because nothing has independent existence here. Everything has dependent existence. That which has anything and everything which has dependent existence, which itself is dependent on something else for its existence, how can you dependent on that for your happiness? Everything has dependent existence means everything is mithya here. Mithya means it has no independent existence at all, which means everything comes and goes. Mithya means that which keeps coming and going. Jayate gacchati iti jagate. That which keeps coming and going. Nothing is permanent here. Everything is bound by time. Everything is time bound. Kala parichinnaha. Everything is kala parichinnam. There's nothing which is free from time limitation here. That is why time is always projected as Jagat Bhakshakaha, devourer of everything. The Kalaha, time factor, personified as the devourer of everything. Nothing can escape time. The time is there all the time. devouring everything, very frightening. Kali, then tongue is like this. The blood comes, no? Very frightening. Kali, don't get frightened. The most auspicious thing, in fact, very frightening, very beautiful Puranas, no? Really frightening, and everything goes in. Why is the blood here? Nothing can escape the time. Devoured. That's why Kali. Time is for us Devi. Kali means what? The time factor personified as the devourer of everything is Kali Ma. We call everybody Ma. Make a mother and friend. Then we won't be scared. Otherwise, very frightening. You know. Everything is time bound. That is why everything is anityam, ephemeral. Therefore, the time bound thing, how can it bless you with timeless, eternal, everlasting sukham, happiness, moksha? Illogical, isn't it, to think that way? How foolish it is to depend on something time bound for your timeless sukham, happiness. You have to be very clear. What I seek is happiness, and the happiness is fullness and limitlessness. Happiness is timeless. Timelessness. Timeless reality is happiness. And everything other than reality, everything else is time bound. This way we say reality is of the nature of timelessness, means what? Kala aparichinnam Brahma, which is free from time limitation, which is of the nature of timelessness. There's no time in consciousness. Time has its existence in consciousness, but consciousness is free from time limitation. That is why Chaitanyam Brahma is Nityam. Nityam Brahma. Jagat Anityam. Everything other than consciousness, the reality, is Anityam. Only two things here. Brahma, reality, and the universe. In fact, first you say simply, you say, there's no universe, okay? Just the reality. The Namarupa, Prapancha is just the Namarupa. The name and form, universe is time-bound. Consciousness alone is Nityam, timeless. Which will you hold on to for your sukham? Which will you hold on to? Will you hold on to the Namarupa or the very substance? The universe is a substantive. The substance without which the substantive universe cannot exist at all is consciousness Brahma. There's no water at all here, but still there's an ocean. Can we go for, you know, shipping or boating? Because there's no substance. Without the substance called water, there's no substantive called ocean. Simply, without the substance called reality, the consciousness, there's no substantive called universe. They're meaningless. Do you want to hold on to the substantive or the, you know, dependently existing, the Namarupa substantive, or independently existing, you know, substance, which is Nityam, which is Anityam? Everything other than consciousness is what is solid for you here, what is gross for you here, everything is so real for you here. The body is real, mind is real, sense organs are real, enjoyments are real, pains are real, pleasures are real, everything is so real for you. Because we're hungry, we're thirsty, we ate and we drank, and then we feel everything, the whole experience is mithya. Isn't it? It is the consciousness because of which experience is possible, that alone is satyam. Very difficult to accept. Not that easy. Therefore, everything is so real for us, appears to be so real. Not that easy. But really Shastram tells, it is the consciousness, it is the reality, it is the substance, it is the existence, you know, which is of the nature of happiness. And everything other than that is, you know, mithya, which has comes and goes, which has dependent existence, which is time-bound in nature. So time-bound jagat, jagat means, I mean, everything in the world. I reduce everything by one word, jagat. No, will not give you, cannot give you timeless, everlasting sukham, that happiness. Once you understand this, it becomes very clear when repeatedly, when you study Shastram, you know, in depth, not simply glossing over, in depth, systematically, when you study, it becomes so clear. Oh, once you understand this, there's something you should hate the whole jagat. I hate it. Let me run away from it. Not that. It's not for you to hate it. See, understanding the limitation of something is to appreciate the existence as Bhagavan's vibhuti and have reverence for that, but don't run away from it. Not for hating it. Hatred will not take us any distance. Some people, very funny. Money I should not touch. That I should not touch. What are going to touch them? See the whole jagat, see appreciate the whole jagat as Bhagavan's vibhuti. Understand the limitation of everything. Everything comes and goes. Therefore, nothing can give you what you really want. What you really want is not some pleasure. Through the pleasure also, what you want actually is this permanent happiness only. What you really want is sukham, sukham, happiness. The peace. Absolute peace is possible only if you have the limitless happiness, and which you cannot attain, which you are already there. How are you going to discover it? Isn't it? Only discovering it can take ownership of it. Even if you own it, because you don't know it, it's as though it is not there. You are not able to take ownership of what you are already. Therefore, that jnanam, you know, it is the jnanam alone will give me this knowledge of what I am. Is in fact knowledge of what Parambrahman is. That alone will give me moksha. That alone will help me attain amrutattva means. Then naturally I will not be interested. I will not be dependent on anything. I will not be emotionally entangled with anything. I will not lean on anything emotionally. The chair is there. I'm comfortable. Come and sit. Okay. That is okay. Enjoying it is different. But, no. Emotionally, I don't lean on anything. I lean only on Bhagavan. This itself is maturity. Okay. So, first, you are dependent. As an immature individual, you are dependent on the jagat. So what should you do? That is why initially you are taught, when you start praying and worshipping, you shift your dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Jagataha Ishwaram Pratinayet. You shift your dependence from the world to Bhagavan, from Bhagavan to yourself. Self-dependent. Shifting your dependence from world to Bhagavan is not to hold on to Bhagavan all the time again. Leave that also. Then come what? To become self-dependent. Finally, you have to be self-dependent. That is the culmination. Only when you are self-dependent, you are independent. That is when you are free from dependence. Slowly, step by step. Is it? So how will you get develop vairagyam overnight? We are not expected to hate anything here. Even if you say everything is Bhagavat, manifestation of Bhagavan, everything is Ishwara Swarup, everything is Ishwara, everything is Bhagavan, everything is Parambrahma, everything is this understanding is how, why should we hate anything? Anything, no? In fact, my unhappiness is because of my dependence on the wrong, the misplaced trust. My dependence on the world is responsible for my unhappiness. World is not the source of unhappiness, nor can the world make you happy. It is neither the source of unhappiness nor is it the source of unhappiness. Then what is the world then? The world is for you to enjoy, to be there. If you are dependent on it, you are a slave of it. Then there will be dukkham. Because it cannot give you what you expect from it. Therefore, shift the dependence from world to Bhagavan, from Bhagavan to yourself. When is it? How can it become independent? Just discovering your swarupam, knowing your own truth is in fact becoming self-dependent, becoming independent. That is where moksha is. In independence there is freedom, there is happiness, there is nirav, fullness. In dependence, there is dukkham. Therefore, here, which means once you understand this, everything is time bound, then what is that which is of the nature of timelessness? That alone is of the nature of happiness, means I need to attain anything here. All that I need to know is know what that reality is. Therefore, it is the knowledge, it is the knowledge, knowledge alone will free me from emotional dependence, which is happiness. This becomes very clear. Then what do? Then you become totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Your passion, now this is called, when the monkey jumps, it's hold on to something here, one stick here, no? It's a big branch of a tree. And it jumps to other one, it holds on to other thing, then it leaves it. Understand? You need to hold on to something. You can never imagine a monkey standing like this without holding on to anything. What will happen? You need to hold on to something. Understand? So it's like, first you're holding on to Jagat, monkey, then miserable, then leave it, hold on to Bhagavan, then leave that also. Don't need any hold. You can stand like that. In discovering yourself, in fact you understand the whole Jagat is holding on to you. You are free. Without it cannot exist. This becomes very, once this fact becomes repeated, Shravanam and Mananam will help you accept, understand this fact. Then that is when you become dispassionate. Naturally, you grow out of passion, desire for everything naturally, not because somebody else tells you. Somebody else come on, give up everything. Okay, give up everything. But now still I have desire for things. It's clean. Dispassion is expression of maturity born of understanding. That you naturally grow out of things, desire for things, knowing their limitations, that they cannot give me what I want in life. This is what is dispassion, vairagyam. And the whole life you lived would have taught you, would have given you a lot of experiences. You don't need to live 100 full years to know, learn things, how limited things are, that they cannot make you they can make you unhappy enough. They cannot make you happy. Isn't it? And then Shastram tells also in Munduka Upanishad, there is a verse which mentions, if you are really a Brahmanaha, Brahmanaha is the mature person. Who's the mature person? The mature person is the one who really discovers dispassion. If you have not discovered dispassion at all in life,
still passionate about so many things, emotionally leaning on so many things in the world, means you're the most immature person. The whole life is a waste. You're living your life means the life has served its purpose. Know when? Life has become really a meaningful life only when you discover this passion. That means what? The life's experiences themselves must have taught you enough. From your own life's experiences, you learn the limitations of everything, that nothing in the world can make me happy. Then naturally, if anything and everything which makes you unhappy, you would like to grow. Naturally, you will get rid of it. You will grow out of desire for things which cannot make you happy. And you analyze also. I have achieved that, I have achieved this, I went there, I saw disciple, I did so many things. What have I achieved ultimately at last? Pariksha lokan karma chitan. Lokan, all that one has accomplished in one's life. Karma chitan. Pariksha, well analyzing. Nirveda mayat brahmanaha. An intelligent person, discovers this passion that nothing in the world can make me happy. Therefore, I'm not really interested. This maturity, it is not something, again, it is real evolution. This is maturity. A person becomes an evolved individual. Maturity. That is why. And that maturity, when a person becomes mature, it's called, he really becomes mature, then he is qualified for really accomplishing the greatest maturity. So here, the mantra says, and such a person alone is eligible for pursuing knowledge. For him, Shravanam will be effective, Mananam will be quick and effective, Nidhyasanam will be possible, and he can attain Jnanam. Amrutattvam Anushahu. They attained knowledge. People attained Jnanam. How? Because they had this Vairagyam. Vairagyam is very important. Vairagyam is not something, giving up and everything, going away somewhere. It's just the maturity. You be with everything, but may not depend on anything. This all cannot give him anything. That vairagyam, only those people who had this vairagyam, only through vairagyam, only through dispassion, they could pursue this shravanam and dhyasanam, which means shravanam, mananam, will be effective, Nidhyasanam will be possible only if it is supported by Vairagyam. The medicine of Shravanam and Mananam will be effective only if you have the Pathyam of Vairagyam. Otherwise, it will be a mere intellectual exercise, an academic pleasure. We all part of school of philosophy. We study philosophy. The very word itself, philosophy. We are all interested in knowing the truth. Then academic pleasure. Because why do you go? Because I don't know what else to do. My evening time, what else to do? If you want to meet decent people, good people who don't go to pubs and drinks, but better let me go here. Very good. Thank God. You're not going to pubs and drink things. You're with the decent people. It is more academic pleasure, isn't it? Nothing wrong. But I am saying it is for a genuine seeker who really you are wasting your precious time and energy sitting in front of me. No, not jobless people. Okay, you have a lot of things to do. But wasting your precious time and means you know something, you really value this text. Isn't it? That's true. That's why here it is said, Tyagena. It is Tyagena, instrumental case. Tyagena means Vairagena Yeva. Only with this, now, this special qualification of Vairagyam, now, Amritattva Manashu, they attained Moksha. Oho, Vairagyam is enough. I don't need to work hard, I don't need to do Shravanam, Mananam. Don't ask, okay? I already said that is Sakshat Sadhanam. Vairagyam is Sahakari Sadhanam. You have to remember that. Tyagena Eke. Eke means Ekaha, one person. Eke, some people. Some great Mahatmas, some evolved people. They attained Amritattvam, which means what? It is possible for you to attain. Oh, this is too much, isn't for me? I'm too simple a person. People come and tell this also. It's possible for me. They think they're very polite and humble. You are not very serious. Come on, go have some more fun and come back. Again, the world will teach you. The world, once you go to the world, it will teach you. You will have enough, you know, enough bliss. And then come back to Vedanta. The world will teach. If you are not ready, don't worry. The world will make you mature. Only some more time. Be with the world. What else can you do? Where else can you go? Isn't it? Go and have some more blows and blah, come back. Only question of time. Which means immature. Some more blows and then again you discover dispassion. That is why, understand now, the Thunba Pudathilittu. Understand? So you have to really have some blows and know the limitations of everything. Emotional blows. Physical blows, nothing, isn't it? All of us fall sick and someday one day all of us go. Which you can't handle. That then, no? That is why we can see how. We don't need to go and see anywhere, okay? Go to some one temple and stand there. You see, the people who go and worship the main deity, you know, are less than people who worship these coming around the Navagrahas. You know why? They can't handle the blows. And they go to astrologer. An astrologer will tell something. And they'll hold on to these nine people, nine of our Navagrahas. And they have the problem. My God, let me leave these people because these people are coming and holding on to us. All the times are coming around us. Do you know that? Nine planets are there in the temples. We are Navagrahas. Nine planets. And they go and, you know, do pradakshinam. Sunday Brihaspati, we have back, neck pain. Lot of the, you know, the channa, these malas. Now, what I'm saying, all these things, gently what I'm saying, the world, if you are not mature, don't worry. Be in the world again. We have no choice. If you are not coming to Bhagavan Shastram, again, you are more with the world. And the world will take its own time to teach, give you enough teaching. The world will teach, though not today, though not tomorrow, one day or the other, you will have a good lesson. Okay? And the lesson, you will come back. That is why nothing to worry. So here, such people, okay, mature, evolved people who have learned from their own lives' experiences, who understood the limitations of everything. What they want, my God, it is not here anywhere. It is only in jnanam. It is jnanam. What I want, I'm already, Shastram says. That means all that I need to do is I need to know that. It is jnanam. It is jnanam. Jnanam alone will give me what I want. Knowledge of Brahman alone will give me what I want means let me hold on to jnanam. All my total commitment is the pursuit of jnanam, which means I'm not, my attention is not available for anything else. Then that is the state of mind, which is called dispassion. Okay, tyagena amritattvam anashu. So shavanam and mananam will be effective if it is pursued with tyaga, dispassion, vairagyam. If it is not there also, what happens? Then as the more you do Shravanam, you will understand the importance of Tyaga, dispassion, and you will also become dispassionate. Anyway, so tyagena, which means tyagena, tyagena eva eke amrutattva manashahu. Some attained moksha only through vairagyam, only with the support of dispassion. Na karmana, not by karma. Practice of meditation, practice of pranayama, practice of exercise, running, walking, jogging, and then going for holidays and doing that and doing this and watching that portion, which any number of programs you have, everything is what karma, karma, karma. Na karma na. It can keep, any karma can keep you entertained, help you forget yourself, your problems for some time. Therefore, it can serve as an object of pleasure for some time. Time-bound pleasure it can give. And the minute you lose that pleasure also, there will be worse pain. So, na karma na. Because the karma is time-bound. Because karma means any ritual, whether it's a secular karma, anything which you do in day-to-day life, or a sacred karma, religious activity, a worship, going to the church or mosque or temple worship or performance of any ritual, anything. I'm not saying they're all not bad, okay? But know the limitations of everything. Very important to, it's all religious activities which one is supposed to do. You should do for your growth, for your maturity. But what I'm saying, don't depend on that karma for your moksha. That's what I'm saying. Going to the temple is very important. Because it's a form of worship. It's good. You express your gratitude, and then you have the benefit. Definitely it's a phalam. It is useful. It is useful, it is not useless. But it is useless in terms of moksha. Understand? You have to know the limitation of it. Either you say useless, or you say it is, you hold on to it totally. No. Understand how useful it is, at the same time understand the limitation of every karma. Every karma what you do is very important. Eating is important, drinking is important, working is important, earning is important, walking around, shopping, social, everything is important. I'm not saying unimportant. But what it is, but you should know, it is useful, but know the limitation of it. The problem is the karma becomes our end for us. Ultimate end. That is the problem. But sadhana, na karma na. The karma is dependent on the very performer. And there are so many other ingredients, accessories. There are so many accessories. Mundaka Upanishad gives a list of accessories. And all the accessories are time-bound in nature. Everything is time-bound in nature. Very karma is time-bound in nature. It has a beginning, it has an end. So time-bound karma cannot give you timeless, everlasting moksha. Is karma useful or not? Karma is very, very useful. Don't ever say it is useless. Which means karma serves as a means for attaining moksha or not. It does not serve as a direct means of moksha. It serves as an indirect means. How? It prepares the mind for jnanam. It contributes for emotional maturity. It contributes for purity of the mind, which is qualification required for jnanam. But that too, the karma will contribute for the mental purity only if it is performed in conformity with dharma. The karma performed in conformity with dharma alone will contribute for preparedness, mental preparedness which is required for jnanam. Your karma is useful, it serves as an indirect means for moksha in terms of preparing the mind for jnanam. But karma by itself will not help you attain moksha. Understand? Karma will bind you. For na karma na, na prajaya. Many people attached to children may get angry. Praja, children. tell you, the if at all there is any something which can really, even sannyasis, I tell you, can easily get attached to something, children, especially their own children, daughters and sons, and grandchildren, worst. I tell you, sometimes grandparents in India are worse than parents. They're so attached to grandchildren. They're looking, see, giving love and warmth. Even today, I think I'm a grandfather. Because the amount of warmth and love and care I enjoyed. There's so much of caring. You can't find such a non-demandingly giving person. You know, my grandparents, I think of even today. I do understand. But what I'm saying, there should not be attachment, isn't it? Having concern is different from being attached. People mistake the concern for attachment and they get attached. Is it? Should have concern but not attachment. You really, there is a big obstruction. Therefore, be careful. Have concern, give the children love, warmth and care. And please be, you be conscious of your purpose of living this life. You have come as an individual. You did not ask for this life. You never planned for this life. You don't even know you are going to be born before. And you were born suddenly somehow. You did not choose your parents. You did not choose your neighborhood. You are just here, not knowing why you are here, how you are here, how. Nothing, no anything. Because of this, some punyam, apatata jnanam, you come to know that there is a, as a human being, there's a purpose of living this life. And now you know. Therefore, now just do your duties as a mother. You enjoy love and warmth, so you give love and warmth. You enjoy it, you know. So contribute. That is your contribution to society. The children who enjoy love and warmth and care and good values, and they will be good contribution for society tomorrow, for the hormone, the orderly society. That is your duty. That is how you contribute also to society back, because by giving a good citizens there. If you have concern, do the needful, do your duties, but don't be dependent on them for your moksha. Don't ever forget that you are here to discover your moksha. You are born here to discover your moksha. There's a book called Born to Win. There's no victory other than discovering yourself. You're born to win, do that and do this. They say all those things. There's a book, Born to Win, isn't it? Yes. I heard the title. I never read it. I know, don't read any other books. I'm not a very good great orator, reader or anything, but I get the way titles, sometimes the titles, very catchy titles, Born to Win. What are you going to win? there's no victory other than discovering your Swarupam being moksha. There's no greater luxury, there's no greater victory than discovering your own Swarupam. Therefore, here, your bond means just you had to constantly remind yourself of your purpose of living this life. What am I living this life for? What am I living this life for? What am I doing here? What have I come here for? You have to remind. Shastram has made it very clear to you that you are here to discover your moksha. Between that moksha is in discovering my own Swarupam. I'm here for jnanam. So my moksha is in discovering my own Swarupam in jnanam. Therefore, but what am I doing here, all these things? I'm doing because I'm placed in a situation where I have to, I'm ordained, to do certain duties. Let me, as an individual, you see everything is Bhagavan's vibhuti, children are vibhuti. So have concern, give them all love and warmth and care, do the duties and do the needful, but don't be dependent on them for moksha. Understand? Overdoing. It means you can do anything, but be careful. Don't forget about your goal there. There's na prajaya. The whole mind goes to children means, how much you get attached to children, to the extent you neglect yourself. Self-negligence is the worst thing. Never ever do. Whatever you do in the world, you keep, put yourself first. Okay, be intelligently selfish. You put yourself first. I mean, my moksha, my jnanam, my duties, okay, that do put first. And do the needful for the children. But here, please remember, na prajaya, na karma na, na prajaya. Immediately, some people think, okay, let me not look out my children hereafter. That is not thing, okay? Then again, any small teaching is misunderstood. Be very, very careful. I tell you, that is my concern. I use the word concern means you are there totally 100% for the children. Children are the first project. Okay, nothing should be done at the cost of children because you are responsible for them to come into the world and take care of them well until they become independent on their own. You have to do. You have to have all that patience. And so selfish that you want to get rid of them. That is also not right. Then adharma that is. That is not dharma. Okay? That is why na karmana na prajaya dhane. The na is there before na karmana na prajaya. But before dhane na is not there. So it may misguide you. Okay? Now, moksha is not attainable through karma. Moksha can attain by progeny, my children. Okay? That means what? Dhanena. Then money, wealth can help me attain moksha. Dhanena. No. That na has to be brought. Again, Shankara mentions in his, bring it there. Na dhanena. Not here. Somewhere else he mentioned. I'm just telling you. You have to add that. Na dhanena. How much ever wealth you accumulate also. Moksha is not attainable. People who had attained moksha only through renunciation, only through tyaga, only through, we'll talk about sannyasa next session maybe. No, only through dispassion. Because dispassion alone will make this shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam possible and conducive. Whereas not through karma, not through progeny, not through wealth, they attained through tyaga. What did they want? Only tyaga. Not karma, not wealth, not progeny. Understand? Na karma na na prajaya na dhanena tyagena eva tyagena eva. I'm adding eva. Tyagena, only through tyaga, eva amrutatvam anashuhu. They attained moksha only through tyaga, this passion. Then he says, then, which means, and those who attained moksha, what did they do? They attained Brahma. They attained Brahma means what? They attained Brahman in terms of knowledge. Attainment of Brahman is attainment of knowledge of Brahman. Attainment of Paramatma. Attainment of Ishvara in terms of knowledge. How? Through attainment of the self. Knowledge of the self. They say, Yatayaha Vishanti. Vishanti means enter. Literally means enter. Enter into Brahman means what? Understanding the wave being water is wave entering into the water, of which wave entering into ocean. Wave was never away from the ocean. It cannot enter, go back and join and merge and one become one with the ocean. Wave is always inseparably one with ocean. Similarly, you are always inseparably one with Paramatma, you are already Paramatma, you are already Brahma. Therefore here, Yatayaha Vishanti means, the Yatayaha means the saints, the people of appropriate right efforts in right direction. People who are, people of appropriate effort put in right direction are said to be Yatayaha. Sometimes we make efforts, all inappropriate. People come and tell me, 40 years I spent in this place. What were you doing? I memorized all the mantras of Upanishads. Fantastic. And what did you do? I was doing meditation. How many years? Many, 30 years I've been meditating. What did you do? No, we used to do all sorts of work. There's no connection. You have to know the order. Order must be very clear. Sometimes people do efforts. They do japam, they do parayanam, they go to temples. Which is wrong, tell me? If I tell you, you all slap me. Swamini, what is, are you Shastra teacher? Are you sannyasini? A Hindu monk coming and telling us going to temple is wrong? I'm not telling you anything is wrong. People come and tell me, Swaminiji, we've been going to temples, we visited all the temples, we did pilgrimage, I'm doing a lot of japam, I've been doing parayanam for so many years, I've been doing that, I've been doing this. They've been doing all these things. I tell you, in Indian, come and see in mamis and all, they tell me, amazing. The whole day they spent with Bhagavan only. But all inappropriate efforts. They work very, somehow it will bring them to the right thing. But they make lots of, really, they do lots of things. But still it is not effective. Why? Not, the efforts not put in right direction. So people of appropriate efforts put in right, appropriate direction are said to be yatayaha. See how the Shastram teaches. Shastram tells, you know, moksha is your choiceless ultimate end. That is something to be discovered as the swarupam of yourself, the truth, reality. And for which you need only jnanam, for which shastram is the means, shravana mana nididhyasanam, supported by proper vairagyam, will help you attain this knowledge. And for attain this end. And for Shravanam and Nididhyasanam also, you need mental purity and steadiness. You need focus, attention and purity. For which Karma Yoga, living the life of Karma Yoga is the means. Live a life of, life of Karma Yoga. With the proper attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan. And with a commitment to, you cannot come with Dharma at all. And with the commitment to live a life of dharma, with proper attitude, Isharpana Buddhi, understanding what is Ishvara, how everything is ordained by law, living a life of karma yoga, commitment to live a life of karma yoga is not an easy joke, which is the only way for you to get your avantakarnam purified. And that's why upasanam, meditation, this japa, etc. will help you, to become focused. Means you should know which sadhana will give you which end. That must be very clear. Okay, so you know the sadhanas. You know for which end, which sadhana, you don't know. For mental purity, living a life of karma yoga is the sadhana. For focus, attention, upasanam. And the significance of worship, understand in the light of shastram. Efficacy of prayer, understand in the light of shastram. Important significance of doing the japam, understand the light of shastra. Understand. That is why a spiritual, that is why sampradaya, the teacher is, that is why guru. Guru means not the one who emotionally blackmails you and asks you for money and then becomes big and then emotionally keeps you ever enslaved. No. Guru is the one who respects your time and energy and value because people in front of you, all, everyone is Bhagavan. Not, you can't cheat anybody here. I value your time and energy. The dakshina you give. The time, every minute you spend in front of me. Not the one who enslaves you, but the one who helps you discover your own freedom, that way helps you to be emotionally independent. Once you help, really frees you from emotional dependence is the guru. That's why you need to, that is why we need a teacher. Sampradaya with teacher means which sadhana is for which end. Nobody is inferior here. Nobody is superior here. evolved and the non-evolved. Or yet people who yet to be, you know, who don't even use non-evolved. The evolved and the who are yet to be evolved. Yoga arudaha, yoga arurukshuhu. Who yet to evolve. And everybody has the right to evolve. So just the teacher. And then what is the sadhanam and what is the end? What is the usefulness of it? What it cannot give? When it should be followed? Let me attain jnanam, then I will live a life of karma yoga. Is it right? After jnanam, not karma yoga. That is why people are all very good people. Everybody is a genuine seeker and everybody's intention is good. They mean well, but this is the problem. That is why yatayaha means people of appropriate effort given in, put in right direction. So Shastram gives you clean, clean, that's a signpost. Is it? It's a clean road map. Satna. Turn left. Now turn right. Isn't it? Sometimes it can give you wrong direction also. London gives. The old satnas can sometimes make you go round and round.
Is this part of the six disciplines you mentioned earlier?
Pardon?
Earlier, quite some time ago. Mentioned six
fold disciplines. Yeah, they all become I didn't read this particular text assumes that you already endowed with all those things. So it highlights the dispassion. See, dispassion is possible only if you have that mastery. See, dispassion is something amazing, isn't it? Very beautiful thing. Is real maturity. That is why you need more shastra. That's why shravanam for length of time. Because it's very easy for you to get easily, you will be moved by things. The shastram will all the time you have to be reminded of your purpose of living this life. So here, what I'm saying, this na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena, tyagena, amrtattva manushu. And such people, people who attained moksha, yatayaha, vishanti, they enter into Brahman means they resolve their identity with Brahman. Resolving, losing their identity, resolving their individuality in Paramatma, but recognizing their Swarupam is attaining Brahman. Vyashyatayaha vishanti. People of right effort means those who, when, because Shravanam will help, with the help of the teacher, will help you understand everything. Which sadhanam is for which end. So, that is what is making appropriate effort and directed, and put in the right direction. Yathachprakal yatayaha vishanti. Then what happened? What do they enter into? Vibhrajate. They enter into Brahman is understood here. Okay, implied there. They enter into Brahman means they become one with Paramatma. Where? Paramatma who shines. Which shines? Vibhrajate. Rajate, Bhrajate, Vibhrajate. It ever shines. Consciousness, which time consciousness does not shine? When is it not evident? Ever evident. Ever evident. You are conscious of every word I am saying because ever evident. Because of consciousness.
Vibhrajate is present participation.
No. Vibhrajate just shines. Atmanepadam. Yad Brahma Vibhrajate, that absolute reality, ultimate truth of the universe, the Chait consciousness, the Brahma, which shines always, ever evident, shines always, you know, where, he says, that reality which is parenakam, parena nakam, which is more superior to even heaven. It is not heaven, it is not just the heavenly pleasure comes and goes, whereas moksha is what? Permanent happiness. That's why parena means it is superior here. It's superior to what? Nakaha. Nakaha, nakaha means heaven. I tell you one thing. Kam means sukham. Aka means dukkham. Okay? Kam, see, understand the word, huh? Kam means sukham. Akam means dukkham. Na akam means where there is no sorrow, grief, sadness, pain. Na kaha. Which means it seems, shastras declare, in heaven you can experience, you can enjoy painless, okay, pleasure. Pleasure not mixed with, you know, adulterated pleasure. Okay, which means what? You can enjoy pure pleasure. In here, in Bhuloka, in this, here we enjoy pleasure mixed with the pain. Pain mixed pleasure. Now, dukkha mishrita sukham we experience here. In heaven, we have dukkha rahita. Pure, only pleasure you experience. No pain at all. No pain at all. Only pleasure. Enjoy only pleasure. But what is the... Therefore, what's superior or not? Definitely it is. That is why nakaha. Kam sukham. Akam dukkham. Na akam yasmin nakaha. That where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain, where there is no grief, only pure pleasure alone is there, that is called nakaha. Therefore, heaven is superior to this world. But here, what about Brahman? Brahman is inferior or what? No, Brahman is superior to that heaven also. Parena nakam. Why? Because the heavenly pleasure, even though it is painless, pure pleasure, still it is time-bound. It is enjoyable as long as you have only punyam. In keeping with the amount of the punyam in your account, in your balance, as long as you have punyam, you will be allowed to enjoy that pleasure. When the punyam becomes nil account, then you will be pushed out of the heaven. Therefore, it's also what? It is painless, but still time-bound. Therefore, what about Brahman? A Brahman here is, sukham is the very swarupam. Understand? Swarupam means that which does not go away from it, that which cannot be taken away. You cannot see sun without light or brilliance or heat. You cannot have the fire without heat. Isn't it? Like that, consciousness and happiness are... Happiness, the fullness, is the very swarupam of Chaitanyam Brahma, which is the truth of yourself, which alone is satyam. Everything else is mithya, which comes and goes. Therefore, here he says, parena nakam. Brahman, which is superior to heaven also, because it is absolutely eternal. Brahman is of the nature of absolutely eternal happiness. Whereas heaven is what? Heaven is relatively eternal. Heavenly pleasure is said to be relatively eternal. Why? Because you have long, for a long time you can have pleasure as long as you have punyam. It's only pleasure. It's experiential pleasure. Whereas Brahman is not experienced pressure, very swarupam of the experiencer. Understand? Happiness is not an object of experience. Happiness is the very intrinsic swarupam, very nature of the experiencer. Whereas heavenly pleasure is an object of experience, which experience without any pain for a length of time. Therefore, we do not know even how nice the heaven is, we don't even know. We only heard from Shastram, Shastras talk very highly of, like I haven't been to New Zealand, but every time I come here, people tell me New Zealand, how it is. And then I think, maybe one day I can just go on the way. I just pick up an idea. Again, Asanya, what is the big deal? It's okay. Similarly, he also know when he keep on listening to the Karmakanda of the Veda, and you'll pick up it. Definitely, you'll think, definitely somehow one day I had to book a ticket to heaven. That desire will come. That is why this really slowly, it's intrusion, slow intrusion into your mind, enslaving you for the desire. It can be really triggered and brought out. It will come out somehow. Therefore, that is heaven. So, parena nakam, whereas, see, swarupa sukham is permanent. Does not come, does not go. Whereas experiential sukham is comes and it will go. Are you interested in sukham which comes and goes, or you are interested in sukham which is permanently there? Of course, we don't need to tell this, We are all interested in swarupa sukham, which is permanent. Therefore, he says here, this Brahman, Brahmanandaha, this Brahman which they attain in terms of knowledge, these people of appropriate efforts, that Sukh Brahman, which is superior to heaven, parena nakam. Apna sargate katlum melana sukha surupma irikkiram paramburulai avarkal adairarkal. This is the meaning. Parena nakam. Then, guhayam nihitam. This is one line. All the Upanishads say this. Where is reality available for recognition? Where are you going to search for happiness, fullness? Where are you going to search for Parambrahma, Paramatma? Everything is Paramatma. Everything is Parambrahma. But do you see Paramatma? You're not able to see. Even though everything is Paramatma, now the Paramatma alone is there as everything, but still that Paramatma being everything is you are not able to see through physical eyes, because it is, you are not able to see because it is covered by the ignorance. Isn't it? Everything is Paramatma, but we are not able to see. Now you can never see through physical eyes, but cognitive eye, through the eye of knowledge, you can appreciate everything being Paramatma. But for which you have to recognize that Paramatma, where? As yourself, as the very truth of you, in your own mind. So all the Upanishads say this beautifully. In Taittiriya, Yo vedanihi tanguhayam. Same thing comes here again. Every Upanishad says, in Kathopadhyay said, every Upanishad is said here. So he says, nihitam guhayam, that Brahman which is as though hidden in the mind, the cave of your mind. No, guhayam nihitam means hidden, kept there, placed there. As though it is hidden in your mind, it cannot be hidden. Isn't it? Cannot be hidden. But it remains as though it is hidden. Why? The mind is likened to the cave here. Because cave is dark. Cave is full of darkness. Cave means immediately you have to think of darkness. A dark place is cave. Similarly, here, what is that? Mind also is covered with what? Mind is covered with the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, and this dark cave of mind, now filled with the darkness of ignorance, and there shines what here? The reality, the pure knowledge. In that mind alone, it is as though hidden, it is there, it shines. It shines as what? As very I. That which shines as I is what? It is this Brahman only. That is why Vibhrajate, that Brahman which shines in everyone's mind as the very truth of I, and which is even whose swarupam happens to be happiness, who is superior to even the time-bound, the pleasure experienced in heaven, that Brahman, these people of right efforts, appropriate efforts, really attain in terms of knowledge, because they take ownership of Param Brahma, the reality, as their own selves. Is it clear? So, okay. So, Parena Nakam, see, Guhayam Nihitam, Parena Nakam, Yad Brahma Vibrajate, no, Tad Yatayaha Vishanti. These Yatis Sannyasis, they're highly dispassionate, mature, evolved people, you know, who are of right efforts and directed towards right direction, no? Put in right direction, attain that Brahman as their own selves, in their own mind. Okay? And people attain that, and only people who have that vairagyam, they alone attain immortality with the help of Shravana Manani Dhyasanam. This is the teaching. And to reach a proper, you have a destination in your mind. And you need a proper guide, proper map, road map. And here also, you are here. You are blessed with the appropriate instruments of enjoyment. Human body, mind, sense complex. Thank God, not crawling or flying or hopping. Therefore, you are intelligent enough to use the appropriate, get the fine thing. And the Shastram is the roadmap. If at all you want some guide there, no, you need a guide there. It is the teacher. The teacher who is given to the study of the Shastram can't afford to cheat you, emotionally enslave you, entangle you, because he is committed to Bhagavan and Dharma. Understand? He knows the value of Dharma, she or he. That is why Sampradaya with the teacher means you can trust. And the trust also, you, how do you, find trust during due course of teaching. And then the teaching is there. You know everything correctly, which is the first. So start with karma, you know. Live a life of karma yoga. Have antakarna shuddhi. And then be given to the upasanam. Have the upasam japam, that the teacher will guide also. Then you have this naischalyam. Then you shravana manani dhyasanam. Now with have the dispassion, shravana manani dhyasanam, it will result in jnanam, which is moksha. And where is it? Just yourself. Where the smallness will resolve. Inadequacy will resolve. Insecurity will resolve. Bondage just goes. So this is the essence of the mantras, three mantras which we have seen. Okay? Only three mantras. The third mantra, few more things I have to tell you. I'll continue later on. Now go for tea and come back.